Hi, my name is Brendan Malone and you're listening to The Dispatches, the podcast that strives to cut through all the noise in order to challenge the popular narratives of the day with some good old-fashioned contrarian thinking. You might not always agree, but at least you'll be taking a deeper look at the world around you. Hi everybody, welcome along to another episode of the Dispatches podcast. My name is Brendan Malone. It is great to be back with you again. And today's topic of conversation is abortion, drugs and malpractice killed Amber Thurman, not pro-life laws. Before I get into that though, if you're new here and you're not already a patron and you want to support this work and you want to get access to a daily episode of the Dispatches podcast every single day of the week, that's Monday through Friday, an episode of commentary on current affairs and cultural issues, go to patreon.com/leftfootmedia. The link is in today's show notes and become a $5 monthly patron. A huge thank you to all of our patrons. It's thanks to you that today's episode is made possible. Alrighty, let's get into today's topic of conversation. Abortion, drugs and malpractice killed Amber Thurman, not pro-life laws. So who was Amber Thurman? Well, Amber Thurman was a 28-year-old mother who died after an abortion in August 2022. And almost immediately, her death was dishonestly exploited by pro-abortion activists seeking to manipulate the public and to deflect attention away from the fact that her death was caused by the abortion itself. Now, the mainstream media have also constantly repeated this same lie, claiming that her death was caused by the state of Georgia's restrictive abortion law. This false claim has also been repeated by none other than Kamala Harris. Then, in Wednesday's vice presidential debate between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance, Kamala Harris's running mate, Tim Walz, invoked Amber Thurman's name once again to try and manipulate the public into supporting the extreme pro-abortion policy of Harris and Walz through blatantly false scaremongering. Let's have a listen to exactly what he said about Amber Thurman in this debate.
There's a young woman named Amber Thurman. She happened to be in Georgia, a restrictive state. Because of that, she had to travel a long distance to North Carolina to try and get her care. Amber Thurman died in that journey back and forth. The fact of the matter is, how can we as a nation say that your life and your rights, as basic as the right to control your own body, is determined on geography? There's a very real chance, had Amber Thurman lived in Minnesota, she would be alive today. That's why the restoration of Roe versus Wade.
Now, leaving aside his false propagandistic use of the word care when describing the act of aborting an unborn child, and also the logical absurdity of someone decrying a failure to give equal regard for fundamental human rights based on geography, when that is exactly what the pro-abortion ideology proposes, that an innocent human being, solely because it happens to be located in a womb right now, should not get the same basic fundamental right to life as the rest of us. And even worse, he's doing it by invoking bodily autonomy. Just stop and think about this for a second, because there's two bodies involved in every pregnancy, the body of the mother and the body of her unborn child. So if you're going to claim that we must have an absolute regard for bodily rights, and you should never do something to someone's body that they have not consented to, then there's no way that you can support abortion on that rationale. Because why? The unborn child has not given any consent to have its body destroyed in this way, which is done solely on its geography. It is treated differently because it's located in a womb right now, and so therefore it is not given the same respects and rights as the rest of us. This whole thing is just a farcical, diabolical piece of sophistry on his part. But leaving that aside, there are three major claims that Tim Walz has made in that little statement there about Amber Thurman's death. First of all, he claimed that Amber Thurman died in that journey back and forth. He also claimed there's a very real chance that if Amber had lived in Minnesota, that she'd be alive today. And then lastly, he claimed that's why the restoration of Roe versus Wade. So that's why they are pushing for this restoration. Now, not a single one of these claims is true. Let's unpack each falsehood one at a time and in the process provide the true story about the tragic death of Amber Thurman. So the first claim is that Amber Thurman died in that journey back and forth. What is the truth? Well, the truth is that Amber Thurman did not die on the journey back and forth. She died in a Georgia hospital after having returned home to carry on with part two of her abortion procedure. The Georgia law prohibited abortions after 6 weeks, except in cases of rape, incest, or threat to the life of the mother. And because she didn't qualify under any of those exceptions, Amber Thurman, who was 9 weeks pregnant at the time, decided that she wanted to abort the twins that she was carrying. And so she drove about 4 hours to North Carolina to obtain an abortion using the abortion drugs mifepristone and misoprostol. This is what we call a medical abortion, as opposed to a surgical abortion. She took the first drug, mifepristone, at the abortion facility and was told to take the second drug, misoprostol, on her own because no medical oversight is required for that. But it was only after she returned home that the problems began, not on the journey. The abortion drugs ended the lives of Thurman's twins, and then she began to experience complications from the abortion drugs when she retained fetal tissue in her uterus, and this led to an infection. Her condition got worse, from cramping to heavy bleeding to actually vomiting blood, and then when she eventually passed out, she was rushed to the hospital for further treatment. Now, once she got to the hospital then took another 20 hours to carry out the necessary procedure to remove the fetal tissue. But she had deteriorated to such a degree by then that she sadly passed away. Now, Thurman's official cause of death is recorded as septic shock and retained products of conception. So as you can see, she didn't die on the journey. She died well after she had returned home. And as you will discover as we talk more about this, it was the abortion that actually killed her. Which brings us to the second claim that Tim Walz has made here. There's a very real chance that if Amber had lived in Minnesota, that she'd be alive today. What is the truth? Well, it's absolutely false to claim that she would have survived in another state under these same circumstances. Firstly, Amber was killed because of the abortion drugs she took. Dr. Christina Francis, who is head of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, has publicly stated that retained fetal tissue is a, quote-unquote, common complication of this kind of abortion at 9 weeks. So in other words, it is a common complication of using the abortion drugs at this period during pregnancy. Not just that, but according to the FDA, the American Food and Drug Administration, approximately 1 in 25 women who use abortion drugs end up in the emergency room as a result. Let me say that again. Approximately 1 in 25 women who use abortion drugs will end up in an emergency room in a hospital as a result of using those drugs. So women and girls all over America have suffered serious, sometimes even life-threatening complications, such as severe bleeding, infections, or even sepsis, as a result of this particular abortion method. But it gets worse because the US Food and Drug Administration had previously removed the requirement for in-person doctor visits, including essential screenings for serious conditions and also for life-threatening complications like ectopic pregnancies, as well as the follow-up care when these particular abortion drugs are used. So there was actually no legal requirement for this basic supervision of the procedure to be taking place because the FDA had liberalized the law or the legal requirements regarding the use of this abortion drug method. Now, this is actually causing more women to end up in hospital and emergency rooms. One study, which was cited by the Food and Drug Administration, showed that hospitalizations increased by 300% when there was no in-person doctor visit involved. You see, the reality is that if these legal requirements had not been loosened, Amber Thurman would quite probably be alive today because her complication would have been found and dealt with a lot sooner. And this is the dirty little secret they don't want anyone focusing on here. Their supposedly safe abortion method and their liberal legal approach to abortion restrictions was actually the primary reason why Amber Thurman died. So it's the exact opposite of what they're claiming here, which is the point at which you begin to realize how satanic all of this is and how dangerous these people and their ideology has actually become. Now, there is another second causal factor in Amber Thurman's death, and that was the hospitals taking almost 24 hours before providing her the necessary treatment once she was rushed to the hospital. Now, pro-abortion activists and the mainstream media have consistently and continually falsely claimed that the restrictive abortion law caused this delay. But this is a blatantly absurd lie that is easily debunked on multiple fronts. Firstly, Georgia's law explicitly allowed for abortion in cases where there was a threat to the life of the mother. So even if these doctors wrongly considered the procedure to be an abortion, there was no legal impediment preventing them from carrying out an abortion if they believed it to be such a procedure, because her life was in danger. Secondly, multiple legal clauses in Georgia's restrictive abortion law actually permitted doctors to treat Thurman immediately in this type of situation. As Dr. Christina Francis, head of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, has stated publicly, quote unquote, "The reason Georgia's abortion law isn't responsible for Thurman's death is simple. It explicitly allows physicians to intervene in cases of medical emergencies or if the fetus has no detectable heartbeat, both of which applied to Thurman's case." You see, Amber Thurman's twins were already dead, so there would have been nothing preventing doctors from performing a D&C procedure to remove what had become the source of the infection. Thirdly, Amber Thurman's doctors, the ones who were responsible for treating her, have never blamed the Georgia law for her death. In a nutshell, if this same scenario had played out in Minnesota, so a 28-year-old mother had used abortion drugs in a partially unsupervised fashion, which the law allows for now, developed complications at home after doing that, was not taken to hospital until she passed out, and then the doctors waited 20 hours to provide proper treatment, she still would have died. There was no legal prohibition that prevented her from being treated when she arrived at that hospital. Not only that, but Georgia law explicitly gave doctors the power to provide the necessary treatment in cases like this one. So pro-abortion zealots can't claim that the doctors would have been confused, because the law was very clear. It actually explicitly gives them this power. It doesn't leave it vague or ambiguous. Which brings us to the final claim that he has made here. That's why the restoration of Roe versus Wade. In other words, that's why him and Kamala Harris are promoting the restoration of Roe versus Wade. So what is the truth? Well, for the exact same reason that Walz was wrong about his previous Minnesota claim that we've just debunked, he is also wrong to claim that the overturning of Roe had anything to do with this. The only legal factor here was the American Food and Drug Administration's removal of the legal requirements for proper oversight and supervision when women are using these abortion drugs. That's not a pro-life abortion policy right there. That is a liberal abortion policy. The exact opposite. It is the very approach that him and Kamala Harris are in support of. He is also lying when he suggests that him and Kamala just want to restore Roe. In actual fact, they are pushing an abortion bill called the Women's Health Protection Act, which, if enacted, would be far more extreme than Roe ever was. Now, if you want to know more about that particular piece of legislation, become a $5 monthly patron, or if you are one, go and check out yesterday's Patrons Only podcast, where I covered the specifics of that extreme piece of legislation in more detail. So, in summary, despite the lies of the pro-abortion zealots and the mainstream media, here are the fundamental facts of the Amber Thurman death. Starting at the beginning, she decided she didn't want to be pregnant at 9 weeks, so she drove to a more liberal state where she was supplied with abortion drugs. Because she didn't qualify under the post-6-week exemptions that applied in the state of Georgia, she was then told to take the second drug without any supervision, and she returned home. as a direct result of being supplied with an abortion method that results in approximately 1 in 25 women who use that abortion method ending up in an emergency room, and which is known to cause the very complication she experienced at the very same stage of pregnancy she was at, and where there was none of the previous screening and follow-up supervision of this particular abortion method she used, because the FDA liberalized the procedure and made these abortions far less restrictive, those abortion drugs resulted in serious harm to her life. And then when she was subsequently rushed to hospital after her condition had worsened and she had passed out, the doctors then took almost 24 hours to provide her the necessary care using a procedure which is not only legally permitted, but explicitly protected under Georgia law in cases exactly like hers. And then her death sadly followed on from this. Amber Thurman's death had nothing to do with restrictive abortion laws. Instead, she was killed by the abortion drugs she was supplied and then allowed to use without supervision and by atrocious delays in basic medical care once the abortion drugs had injured her. So claiming that restrictive abortion laws caused all of this isn't just a convenient lie for pro-abortion activists who want to manipulate the public, but it also means that the US Food and Drug Administration is not being held accountable, and that proper scrutiny is not being applied to the risks of the abortion drugs that activists and legislators, just like Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, are encouraging women and girls to use, like they're little more than Panadol or ibuprofen. And before we finish this episode, there is one other perverse twist of irony in all of this. Just a few days ago, an activist judge in Georgia struck down the state's 2022 abortion law that has prohibited abortions after 6 weeks. Georgia's Life Act was fully nullified by Judge Robert McBurney, which, in practice, means that he has now forced the state of Georgia to allow unborn children to be aborted as late as 22 weeks. When Judge McBurney first reviewed the case back in 2022, because this thing has bounced in and out of his court, he struck down the law, claiming that it violated the US Constitution. And then it went to the Georgia Supreme Court, and they ruled, however, that he was wrong, and so they allowed the 6-week limit to stand. The case then bounced around again and was returned to Judge McBurney, who once again ruled against the law, this time claiming that it violated the state of Georgia's Constitution after a review of, quote-unquote, our higher court's interpretations of liberty. Does a Georgian's right to liberty of privacy encompass the right to make personal healthcare decisions? Plainly it does, he claimed in his latest ruling, relying on the exact same morally bankrupt, logically deficient, and long debunked legal fictions that led to Roe being overturned by the US Supreme Court just a few short years ago. And in response, the governor of Georgia just a couple of days ago summed things up perfectly by telling the media the following. Once again, the will of Georgians and their representatives have been overruled by the personal beliefs of one judge. Protecting the lives of the most vulnerable among us is one of our most sacred responsibilities, and Georgia will continue to be a place where we fight for the lives of the unborn. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, live by goodness, truth, and beauty, not by lies, and I'll see you next time on The Dispatches. The Dispatches podcast is a production of Left Foot Media. If you enjoyed this show, then please help us to ensure that more of this great content keeps getting made by becoming a patron of our work at patreon.com/leftfootmedia. Link in the show notes. Thanks for listening. See you next time on The Dispatches.